Well, good morning, everyone. There's a story about three men who were good friends, and the three of them were discussing death. And one asked the group, "What would you want people to say about you at your funeral?" Well, the first one said, "Well, I hope they would say he was a great humanitarian and he cared about his community." And the second guy said, "Well, I would really like for them to say that he was a great husband and a father, and he was an example to many to follow." And the third one thought for a second. He says, "I would hope they would say, look, he's moving." You might say our third friend had a bit of apprehension about the unknown, maybe a bit unsure of the afterlife. If I wasn't sure where I might be going, I probably would have the same kind of attitude. Whereas last week's parable that we heard was probably the hardest to interpret, like I mentioned, the words that we hear from Jesus in today's lesson might be one of the hard words to grasp for a lot of people. It's hard because we generally want to be positive and uplifting. I like to be that way as well. The scriptures bring so many wonderful words of hope and encouragement to us, and we need to listen to them. We do have a loving God who created us and wants us to be in the great relationship with Him as we walk out our walk in life. We need to know that and pursue that relationship in our daily walk. But Scripture also gives us warnings at times, not to scare us or to frighten us into submission, but to be truthful with us because God does love us. It's no different than any of us giving our children warnings about life in general to keep them safe. My mother was an ER nurse, a night ER nurse, and we got all the horror stories of drunk driving and drug use over breakfast that she would bring home. I pretty much stayed away from much of that aspect of growing up, even before I accepted Christ into my life. Not all of it, but most of it. But the point is this: our parental instinct is to protect our children, even into adulthood, as we are able. Think how much more God loves us, and He wants us to live a life that paves a safe way on our earthly journey that ends with us being with Him. However, many think that just because God is love, and He is, that all we have to do is be good, whatever good is in one's own mind, and we will be with Him in heaven. But that's not the way it is. And I would be remiss in my duties as a pastor if I didn't bring you the whole gospel. The words in our gospel reading are Jesus' words, not mine or anyone else's. But for those who know Him, those who receive Him, they are also reassuring words. Many theologians agree that this is not even a parable that we just heard, but it was an actual event known by Jesus. He is God, after all. If it is a parable, it would be the first time that Jesus ever put a name within that parable. But whether it is real or a parable, it doesn't take away from the message that Jesus is trying to relay to us. The implications are still true. Jesus has spoken to the crowds about, in several parables about life, several about money as an example. Last week in the continuing dialogue with his disciples, we saw Jesus turn to them and spoke about the manager who was who mishandled the funds of the master in that parable. And Jesus now continues that same dialogue and talks about the rich man and a poor beggar named Lazarus, not to be confused with Lazarus who he raised from the dead. This is a different Lazarus. And for all we know, this rich man may have been a prominent man in the community. He would have done a lot of things for the good of the community, except one thing he did not do, one thing he did not have. He didn't put God first in his life. He was a poor steward of his life and what was given to him by God. He didn't say, "Father, I thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon me. Now how do you want me to handle the blessings that you have given me?" He didn't look at God at all. Even if he did a lot of good things, he left God out of the situation. Now, how do we know that? Well, look where he landed. It's similar to our reading in Amos. The warning from Amos was that those who were referring to were going throughout all the motions, but they had lost sight of the relationship with God. And where did it get them? In exile. And going back to our rich man, he was falling right in line with that, what Paul wrote about in our lesson today to Timothy, where he said, "For we have brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world." You see, this man worshiped his wealth. Without his wealth, he would be nothing and put nothing else above it. All of his friendships, all his titles, all his prestige and honor were tied into his wealth. And when he died, he couldn't take any of that with him. This rich man knows another man named Lazarus that we talked about. Lazarus has been sitting at his gate every day just hoping to get some scraps from the rich man's table. He didn't even take time to minister to him, to talk to him, to pray with him, or even mend his wounds. This beggar, for whatever reason, has been down and out and covered with sores that the dogs even came and licked. That's about as low as you could get. But he obviously had one thing that no one could take from him. Something this particular rich man did not have. He had a relationship with the Father. And judging by the outcome, he obviously put God first. Because when he died, we are told that he found himself in the arms of Abraham in paradise. The rich man, on the other hand, found himself in Hades. I want to be clear, this isn't the judgment yet. That comes later, and it still comes later. But it was hot and tormenting, and the rich man could look up and could see Lazarus, but there was this great chasm in between them. Only now is there a sudden urgency of need. Only now, when death has come and the course of eternity is set, does he call out for help. Now he has a concern for his family. Now he cries out, "Give me water, or at least send Lazarus back to my family to let them know." Where was his concern before? Where was his urgency when he was only concerned about his wealth and his status in life? Abraham calls out, "If they did not listen to Moses or the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." In other words, if Lazarus was to go back. You see, God has been calling on his people throughout the ages. He has been trying to get their attention through the prophets. And if the people would not listen to them, why would they believe a man raised from the dead? The irony here, of course, is a man named Lazarus would indeed, as I mentioned before, be raised from the dead in a not too distant future. And as amazing as that was to a lot of people who became convinced that Jesus was who he said he was, many went out and tried to kill Lazarus again. Jesus was absolutely right. If you won't listen to what God has already given you, if you go out and trash the scripture and the living word that has come to us, what difference does it make if one does rise from the dead in that person's mind? You see, the purpose of this gospel lesson is not to scare anyone, but to show you a better way. And it asks the question, where do you put your faith? And what kind of steward are we of our lives in our faith? What is most important to us? You see, there's only one of two places that we end up when we die. But when we die, that's it. There's one sure statistic. One out of every one person will die someday. I told the last service, I just threw this in free. When I was a young kid, I got the croup a couple of times. And like I said, my mom was a night nurse. And so my dad was there, and I'd get the croup. And he'd rush me into the bathroom, close the door, put my head over a hot water, steam coming out of the hot water, put a towel over my head. And I'd cry out, "Dad, am I going to die?" And he goes, "Someday, son." He was trying to be funny, but it wasn't that reassuring to a guy who's trying to grasp some air. But in the history of man, there have been only two recorded cases in Enoch and Elijah that did not die. They were taken up into heaven. But the point is this: God wants us to spend eternity with him. And that is the deepest desire of his heart. But it is up to us. He wants us on our own free will. He's not going to take away that gift that he has given us. Just being a good person in our own eyes or the eyes of society isn't going to cut it. You can't earn or buy your way into heaven. It's a free gift of grace through Jesus Christ as we accept him into our lives. Every human being has an opportunity to choose or to reject that relationship. Jesus said it best, and these are his words: "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one," and that means no one, "comes to the Father except through me. And if anyone tries to lead someone else down a different road than that, they'll be accountable for that." If I were to stand up here and tell you that there were many ways to the Father, you just choose one, I'd be accountable if someone chose that other way or tried to choose another way. That's why I take this so seriously. This is important to not be taken lightly. You might hear some names out there like Marcus Borg or John Crossan or the Jesus Seminar who try to pick out scriptures and things that they think Jesus said or didn't say. You know, they might say a miracle didn't really happen because miracles don't happen. They want to pick out the parts of the gospel that only makes one feel good. Now, these are nice guys. They might mean well, but they're wrong. God's desire for us is to grow in him. Let me ask you this. What in life really excites you outside of your faith? I mean, what would you sit down and talk about for hours with someone outside of your faith? We need that kind of zeal for the Lord. Do you realize how exciting it is to live a life that is controlled by the Holy Spirit? I heard a testimony the other day. Debbie and I are friends with a radio personality at the Joy FM. Many of you probably know her as Michelle Timone. Michelle texted Debbie earlier this week about an incident that happened, and she shared this testimony later that I heard. And as she was at a meeting late one night, and she was going back to the station to get her car, her daughter was giving her a ride back to the radio station to get her car. And as she and her daughter were making their way back, another car slowly rolled out of a parking lot. And it just out of control, but slowly moved across from her. Her daughter had to actually back up to let the car cross in front of them. Michelle hopped out of the car, started banging on the windows. There's two young men in this car, both like passed out. And as the car came to a stop across the street, she ran and opened the door. And one of the guys had a needle in his hand. They apparently both had OD'd, and one was blue, and the other one was barely breathing. And they called them the paramedics, of course, and Michelle began praying for these two young men. And another man came up to the car to help with as Michelle was there, and he too just happened to be a Christian, and he started praying for the two as well. So they were both there praying together, and as the paramedics came and they got them situated on the stretchers, the one paramedic said to the other, "Well, should we call it on the guy that had turned blue?" Meaning, should we call him expired? And Michelle and the other guy began praying for this guy again, and his eyes opened. And they got him into the ambulance. She didn't know what the outcome of that was. But I do believe with all of my heart that they were there for that moment. Michelle and that other guy were there for that purpose, for that moment. And I believe also that God wants to use us wherever we are and whatever he puts before us. Yesterday, I broke a rule that I made for myself when I was in my 20s. While in college, I briefly worked part-time in security for a store called Robinson's. It's now Dillard's. My job was to apprehend shoplifters. I dressed up like a shopper and went around dressed looking like I was shopping. And if I saw somebody shoplifting, I'd apprehend them. And one time I was talking to one of our clerks, and another lady came up and she looked like she had a pregnancy bump. And I said to her, "So when are you due?" And she looked at me, she says, "I gave birth 9 months ago." I said, I turned 30 shades of red. There's no way I'm going to back out of this one. I can't say anything that will make amends. So I vowed to myself, I'll never, ever, ever ask a woman if she's pregnant. Again. Well, yesterday, I was at the counter in a local establishment getting a cup of coffee, and there was a young lady behind the counter who was helping me, and she had a pregnancy bump. And I felt the need to pray for her. And so I went ahead and stepped off the cliff for the first time in 40 years. And I said, can I ask you a question? Are you expecting? She goes, yes, I am. And I said, whew. I said, when are you due? And she goes, in December. And then she got my coffee for me and came back. I said, do you mind if I pray for you and your child? She goes, she smiled. She says, no, please. And so she reached her hand across the counter and we held hands and I prayed for her and her unborn child. And I just felt led to do that. God brings all these things to us for a reason. And because for the sake of the lost, we need to live our lives for the urgency of the moment, for those people he puts in our path at times. It doesn't happen every day, but when it happens, we need to be ready for it. Again, Paul reminds us in his letter, but for you, O man of God, flee these things, speaking of idols and things we make for ourselves. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight for the faith. And listen to this. He says, take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We need to be a witness when we're out there doing what he calls us to do. And that's what Jesus is calling us here for. This example Jesus is giving is not about just doing good deeds. The example is not about rich people going to hell and poor people going to heaven. Salvation is for all who call on his name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Then we need to be good stewards of what he is offering us to do. And when we do that, watch what God will do through his Spirit. He will lead you through all kinds of what we call God encounters with other people. Those are moments when you know that the very Spirit of God is right there with you. And we need to be ready for those God moments, because if we are willing and listening, he will give them to us and guide us through it. And out of that comes our reaching out to others, whatever that may be, and however he may direct us. And it doesn't mean just throwing money at every situation. We need to be prayerful and wise when to reach out. Sometimes we need to be ready to pray. Sometimes we need to be ready to take part in a ministry. There are a lot of people who are both rich and poor and everything in between, who need that touch of cool water of the Spirit to their lips as well. Reassuring promise of God for them. They are searching for a path that leads to heaven, not later, but right now. And it's really nice to be and exciting about how the things of this life you like to do and take part in. We all like things that we take part in our lives. And experience. But life is for an eternity. Our life that we know now is only for a season. But how we live this life and the witness that we have in this life can make even a greater difference, not only for us, but for those whom we touch through the gospel, that God puts those moments in our path, as he puts those moments in our path. May we always, always be ready. May we all be good stewards of the life that God has given us to do his bidding and to be his hands and feet in the world around us. May we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you want to do so much through each and every one of us as you call us by name. Lord, help us who know you to be used by you, to be good stewards of our time, be good stewards of our lives as we reach out to a world that is hurting so much. Help us to bring the good news of Christ. Use us in many ways, Lord God. And Father, there are so many people out there whose destiny is a great chasm if they don't hear the word. So Father, we ask that you would open hearts, open relationships, open ways to be able to talk to people. I pray for the students, Lord God, as they speak to their classmates. I pray for us as we reach out to whoever you put in our path. Father, use us, we pray. Help us to know the urgency of the need. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.